Hello, 242. So I want to talk a little bit about Lab 3 and Lab 4. So I wanted to get this out yesterday, but I spent the time trying to, well, redoing Lab 4 almost completely and changing what I wanted to have you guys do. So let's talk about Lab 3 to start with. So I've gotten a few questions, mainly questions on decurses and being lost and kind of like, I don't know where to start and I don't know how to get this to compile and see. So I changed things last Friday. I changed up the kind of the path, the hint to get how to get the best grade as fast as possible on the assignment with 15 steps. And I've still gotten a lot of questions. So I just thought we'd walk through some of these. Starting at step number one, create a vector of point structs. The vector should contain all the points from 1, 1 to the bounds. Well, let's just make a loop, all right? This is 160 things. My 160 class just did exactly this, creating a vector of, well, not points, but of ints, but they've done points before. So just a doubly nested for loop, push back, use initializer syntax, check, check, check. I'm not going to show you how to randomly shuffle, and the reason I'm not going to show you how to do that is because it's in the algorithm library, so pound include algorithm, and I don't know, look it up, randomly shuffle, C++ vector, oh, there it is, it's a function. Okay, so away we go. We need to actually know that this is working. So probably the biggest thing I'm trying to do with this walkthrough slash steps is to try to teach you how to debug your code as you go forward. How do you attack small problems and try to make them successful? Now, if we were in person, I could have given you the hint to start with vectors. I didn't realize that you wouldn't kind of get that. And, well, I didn't plan on giving any of these projects blindly without me being in front of you. So something to learn. So there's the hint is to do that. But the key take home from this is that you need to learn to take small chunks and build working code up and test along the way. Now, that isn't required in 160 and in 162. You can sit down and write almost everything out. Once you get into an upper level class, you have to build incrementally. You have to think about where you're going and figure out how you can test step by step. And so in this case, I would not do anything with decurses until step 13. Look where step 13 is. It's two away from getting an A. Start simple and know that everything else is working and then build up. So the simplest thing to do is to actually just loop through this vector of points that we have and make sure that they're all there and they're random. So I just write a for loop. And you can do a for each point P in points. See it out. Away we go. That's step 3. Step 4, I want to get the noise value for each one. Now, I didn't create the noise vector, the noise object, and do those kinds of things. Y'all can figure that out. It's there in the code, the example code. So, you know, here we go. We do the same for loop that we have, but now we're calling get color with, I don't know, p.x, p.y, and away we go. We get a color, and we print it out. And we should at this moment in time know that it's working and kind of have how much a feel for how long it's going to take. So the next one is get the current time. All right. Well, I asked for this to be the current time in milliseconds. I'm not going to tell you how to do that. You do need to look up things. I'm not giving you the complete solution. I wrote a function named getTimeMilli. What does it return? It returns a double, and that's probably the number of seconds plus the number of milliseconds onto the end. Now, I don't know. You can look it up in the terms of lookup clock underscore get time, and that will tell you how to get the number of seconds that have elapsed since the Linux epoch and the number of nanoseconds tacked onto that, and you can pretty quickly write a little function. By writing this in a function, you can see what we get. We get the double start time at the top of main, and then what? At the end of where we want a time, we do get time milli, which is the current time in milliseconds, minus the start time, and now I've got a delta, the amount of time it took to run my program. All right, I would do that. That's not very hard. It's maybe 10 minutes to sit down and to hunt that, maybe a little longer to debug it out. You can test it. Remember, everything else is working. The magic stuff of steps 1 through 5 is in there because you already tested it. We are now at step 8. So we're halfway home at this point, and hopefully this is only taking you maybe a half an hour, 35 minutes, something along those lines. Step number 8, get a command line argument, argv1, argv0 is the name of the program. argv1 is the first command line argument. And I'm going to use it to be the seed. Well, there's a magic function called a2i. And a2i converts an argument to an integer. There it is. argv1 to an int. Noiseed. Away we go. So 8 is checked off. While we're at it, I'll just check step 11 off to take the number of threads that I want. A to I, argv2, and away we go. So I just check those two off to get me a few more points moving forward. Okay, that leaves us 9 and 10 in the middle. Convert your code to work with a single thread generating all the noise values. So what I would do for this is to just have a single thread which runs a function. Now, what is that function going to need to do? Well, what that function is going to do is it needs to loop through all of the different points. Now, you could do this exact loop that we had before, and I would probably do that. I would move that up and stick it into the top one, and then, you know, I would loop through all the points and have it generate the color and be away, and that would be fine. But I'm also going to do step 10 at the same time. It says convert your code to have two threads share the work of generating the noise. All right, so if I've got two threads running, I need them each to be grabbing points off of the same vector. Grab, grab, grab. How do I keep them from grabbing the same point? Well, every time one of them grabs the point, it works on it, and it gets rid of it from the vector. So while the point size is greater than 0, take a point, point P, pop it off. Don't do it again. Now generate the color. Change the color over, and print the color out. Note, I'm not using any decursive stuff here either. I'm just printing them out. So at this moment in time, you should be able to create multiple threads using a vector of threads at the bottom, creating them using new and a thread pointer, and they should run this run. Or if you want to create them with a struct and start and you know, run and stop, or whatever I called them in the earlier one, that's 100% fine. This will work. Now, I do have a question in here. What should be wrapped in a mutex? Well, it's things that are shared. And what's shared here? Well, it's the points. Now, I can't wrap this whole thing in a mutex because that's just going to let one thread do all the work. So that's not what I want. I do need to wrap the first two lines inside of the while loop in a mutex. And why do I need to do that? Because I'm getting a point from points, and I'm removing that point. So I don't want someone getting a point and then someone else removing that point at the same time, right? I don't want that race condition. There's another issue in here as well, which you might be able to think about, which is two of them might have been able to pop in, but in between the time of the one starting, gaining the mutex, the zero is no longer, it's no longer points dot size is greater than zero. Both of them came in when it was one. One of them gets it, the other one doesn't. So you really need to check in there. All right, you really need to grab that thing, and then you need to be able to check if it's true. All right, if it's true, then go on. And if it wasn't true, leave. So you might want to have a check inside of your mutex in there that says, okay, well, if this isn't the case, then I'm going to have to leave. But, you know, that's the next level up. Check this on this to start with and try to get this one to work. 9 and 10 should now pretty much be there, except for what? You need to create the threads, and you need to call joins on those threads, right? You got to join everything before you are done and leave the program, so you need to run through and do joins. I believe that takes us up to 12. Does the processing time change with the number of threads? Well, there you go. You already have something that you can start plugging in and get 12 done. All right? And you can even, write up your README. So all of 12 should basically be done at this moment. 13 and 14 is to convert decurses into getting it to work with some C++ code, things that people started earlier, started on the project early, were able to do. That's what you're going to do. Convert decurses.c into a .cpp. You might have to make some changes. You might have used things like new or something, and that's a reserved keyword. And that should be able to go and work. And then finally, use the code that I gave you, the starter code that I gave you, to just have the threads draw to the screen. It's as simple as having decurses start, end, and then there's a little bit of code in there. Instead of doing these two C outs that you output, you can call printf with the things in there if you want, and it'll work. And that's it. You'll have gotten an A on the whole entire project. Cheers. Oh yeah, one last thing. Lab 4. Lab 4 is due on next Monday, as I've posted before. The reason it's due next Monday is all you're doing in that lab is going through and writing comments. I just want you to go through, tell me what each of the structs does, tell me any of the system calls, and just write a short comment. It's a short comment, like 5, 6 words, 7 words. This does this thing. I am just going to scan through your comments that you wrote and be able to tell whether you kind of understand it or not. You might have things that you don't understand. You can learn something from that. So what does it do? Well, it doesn't use decurses because I thought that would give it away too easily. It just creates noise values, except it does it by using procs and pipes instead of threads. So there might be something in there that you can gain and see and understand to help you out on Lab 3. All right, so you might want to pay a little attention. It's a little different. It has a central vector at the bottom that's it's forking out for the and sending it off into different processes as they're going. But you might learn something from it, and you might feel like, oh yeah, I can see that I can do things or not do things. All right, so there you go. That's Lab 3 and Lab 4. I hope that helps you get going. And if you're not going, I hope it gets you going. If you're finished up, I hope it lets you see maybe where things went wrong. All right, y'all have a great evening. I'll talk to you soon.